as well with my soul. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Blessed be His wonderful name. Amen. So good to be together again this morning. Thank you, musicians. Hallelujah. I can't think of any place I'd rather be. Those of the purchased of His blood. Those that He died for. Those that He lived for. Those that He's coming back for. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated for just a moment. Before we get into our message this morning, Brother Thomas, I think, if I remember right, many, many years ago, we would hand out some little gifts to our children in the church, letting them know to our love and our appreciation and what have you. And I think I remember one time calling Thomas's name and seeing him run up the aisle. Here's somebody that knows, you're going to give this to me? I'm coming for it. He didn't waste any effort, any time. Still the same. All right. Well, just stay that way. If somebody says, I'm giving you something, take them at their word. Hallelujah. Well, Thomas has shared with us that he's has some training that he's going to go off to in January. And we are sad to see him not be amongst us, but we're happy for him. We're excited for the next chapter in the book of St. Thomas. And you say, well, there is no St. Thomas. Yeah, we're written epistles, read of all men. Each one of us is a story that God is expressing, and it's His story. It becomes history, but it's His story, amen, that He's writing in our lives. So anyway, we just have a little something we want to give you from us, from the church. So if you just run up here. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We just love you and appreciate you, and we're just excited about what the Lord has for you, and we appreciate all that you've done so far, and we're expecting great things. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I'd like to take our Christmas text from John, the 12th chapter. Might sound like a strange text, but God does things in ways that are unusual to the world, but they're not unusual to Him. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and they desired of him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Look at their approach. So they come with a certain approach. They know what the approach should be. They come with respect and they make their desire known. Here's what we came for. We came to see Jesus. Philip cometh and then telleth Andrew. So we see there's a little bit of a hierarchy that's going on there. And again, Andrew and Philip, they went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. What in the world does this have to do with seeing Jesus? They said they wanted to see Jesus. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Merry Christmas. Brother Brown took the same text and he preached a message called Sirs, We Would See Jesus. Page 11, paragraph 1, he said, and it's my heart's desire tonight that in this unusual scripture, that we find the true meaning of Christmas. What Christmas means to us. The way we should do it. How we should approach Christmas. So, the title of our thought this morning is What Christmas Means to Us. What Christmas means to us. We know it means things to different ones, but what does it mean to us this morning? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together on this Christmas Eve, Lord, it's something that doesn't happen. I would say it happens every 7 years, but then I got to count in leap year that comes in. And so we know that in a period of around 6, 7 years, 8 years, the cycle repeats. And our first day of the week falls on Christmas Eve. Sometimes it falls on Christmas Day. And we see this year, Lord, that it falls on Christmas Eve when the world is set aside time to celebrate the birth of Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning that we can bring a Christmas message that you placed on our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that we can look to you and find the true meaning of Christmas. And that's our desire here this morning, Lord. We didn't come to celebrate, we came to worship. And Lord, we came to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come, Lord, to know you in a greater and a better way. And Father, we pray that you would be pleased with all that is said and done. And Father, when we leave, we'll say, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us and walked with us along the way? We pray that you bless each and every one, bless those that are listening in and those that will listen in. And Father, we surely give you the praise and honor and glory. And we're looking for you to show us the true meaning of Christmas according to your word. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we know that most Christmas messages that would be preached, that we would hear, most of them are about a little baby that's laying in a manger. And we certainly do thank God for sending Jesus Christ to the world. We know that it was essential for him to be born. For him to be born of a virgin, for him to become flesh, to take on flesh. But the true meaning of Christmas is not a baby laying in a manger. And yet that's the first thing that the Christian world wants to teach to their children. If they're even bringing Christ into the picture, if it isn't some big fat guy in a red suit or some other thing that they're presenting, then what they want to present to the world is a little baby laying in a manger, right? But that is not the meaning of Christmas. You see, a little baby can't forgive us of our sins. A little baby can't heal us. A little baby can't deliver one from the bondage of Satan. A little baby cannot baptize you into his kingdom. A little baby can't give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if we leave God's wrapped gift this morning in a manger, there's no virtue there that you and I can draw on. We don't want to leave him in a manger because he's not a baby this morning. Aren't you thankful? He started out as a baby, but so did you. But when your life story is told, do you want everybody to just talk about your time in diapers when you're wet in the bed and couldn't take care of yourself? That's not the story of your life. That's the beginning of it. So if you don't mind this morning, we won't begin our thought this morning by telling you all about shepherds that were in the field. And certainly we've talked about that in the past, and it's in the Bible, and it's true, and there's virtue in speaking about that at different times. But we're not going to speak about that this morning, and we're not going to speak about wise men that came to worship Jesus, at least not the three kings that came from Asia 3 years later to bring their gifts of frankincense and gold and myrrh. We're all, no doubt, this morning familiar with those events. This morning, we'd like to look at what does Christmas mean to us, specifically. What is the real meaning of Christmas to us? Would that be okay? So in our text this morning that we read from the scriptures, These Jews were of the Old Testament faith. They were proselytes, if you will. They were brought into the Old Testament faith. And then they heard about a Jesus of Nazareth that was going around doing miracles and people that were being healed and delivered and all these wonderful things that were taking place and the word going forth. These men were Greeks by birth, and they were once believing actually quite the opposite of the Jewish faith until they became proselytes to the Jewish faith. And then they came to come up another church age. They came to hear Jesus, and they came to hear about the great things that he was doing, but they didn't just want to hear, but they wanted to be eyewitnesses. They wanted to meet him themselves. They didn't want a secondhand testimony. They wanted to come and see. So they came to hear Jesus. They came to hear about the great things that he was doing. They came to see. They wanted to meet him. And they came to see if all the things that they were hearing about were really true. So they came and they began to ask about him. And we notice a great thing here. They came to know Jesus. And they came first to one that knew him. So we see that there's an order. There's a process. God has ways of doing things. God has an order to things. So if you want to meet somebody, most of the time you will first go meet somebody that knows that person. And then that person will then introduce you to this other person. Is that right? So it's a great principle that is in the scriptures. And this principle is, if we want to meet Jesus, we need to go first to somebody that already knows him in order to be introduced to him. Oh, come on, friends. There is a right approach. And these Greeks, by birth, they knew that there was a right approach, and they honored that approach. Brother Brown tells us in this message, he says, usually the way that people want to find Jesus is to find somebody who knows how to take them to him. A leader or one of his servants is the way they find him. So they're saying, sirs, we would see Jesus. We want to know him. We've heard about him. And we want to meet him ourselves. How many has said that in your life? We don't want to know him in a second-handed manner. We know the pastor knows him. We know the deacon knows him. We know the song leader knows him. And this one and that one. But we want to know him ourselves. He says, so Jesus, if he ever chooses a servant, he always chooses somebody that will bring the people to him. He's the reason of the season. He's the purpose. There wouldn't be a Christmas if there was no Christ. If he ever chooses a servant, he will always choose somebody that will bring the people to him, because it is his purpose to serve the people. So that would be a good thing for us to remember all throughout our lives, friends. When people claim that they're a spokesperson for God, and a lot of people do, remember that if they are truly one of his servants, they will lead you to the true Jesus of the Bible, not to a Baptist one or a Pentecostal or a Methodist or to themselves or to somebody else or to some creed or some dogma, but they will introduce you to the Jesus of the Bible that's here this morning. A true servant of Christ is sent to be a servant to the people and to draw the people to Christ, not to themselves, not to some doctrine, not to some organization of man, but to the Jesus of the Bible. And this is a sign from God when they meet someone that has met him. So a true servant of Jesus will have the ability to lead people to him. And it will be their heart's desire. It'll be their mission in life. If I can just get them to Christ. If I can just, then the idea of somebody taking them out from under the blood, that idea will be gone. If I can get them to the blood, to the one that shed his own blood, and let him convince them. So if we spend our time this Christmas Eve only pointing to a manger in the side of a cave in a hill in Judea, And that's all that we do. If that's as far as we go, well, then we have failed to bring the true Jesus Christ that is with us and that is among us this morning in 2023. Because he's just as much among us this morning as he was when they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. I mean, come on, friends. Why would we invite his presence among us and sing to him and speak of his birth and the events that are surrounding his birth only to then ignore him in our midst this morning? Why would we speak about him and not put him front and center? You see, a baby never walked on water. I've never heard of that. A baby never raised anybody from the dead. A baby never opened blinded eyes. A baby never set the captive free. The devil has no issues at all with us believing in a baby Jesus this morning. Now, of course, there was a baby Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But history records that. You can read that in a history book in public education. Or at least you could when I was a kid. The devil doesn't mind if you believe that there's a baby that was laying in a manger 2,000 years ago and you recreate that scene. He doesn't mind that at all. But when you are introduced to the Jesus Christ of 2023, the one that's in our midst this morning, then all hell gets out of bed to fight against that. You see, the scene of Jesus in a manger, oh, it's a beautiful scene. It's a humble scene. It's a beautiful scene in that it's God in simplicity and it's God fulfilling his word and it's God doing things in ways that just goes over the tops of man. The wisdom of man just looks right over the top of it. So it's beautiful in that sense, but it's so humble. That's why they go over the top of it. The scene of shepherds coming in from the field, angels singing and angels bringing a message to these shepherds. Oh, it's a beautiful sight. It's a beautiful story. The scenes of the angels appearing to herald his birth. Oh, it's a beautiful scene. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing that could be said that's out of the way, if you will. But the scene of Jesus Christ of 2023 coming amongst us this morning to set us free. That's to set you free from whatever might be troubling you this morning or your family or a loved one. There's a whole lot more virtue in that this morning than a baby laying in a manger. To send you a Christmas card or for you to receive a card this morning and to look upon a beautiful nativity scene that we've maybe put out in front of the church. That won't heal you. That won't comfort you. That won't deliver you. That won't save your soul. Now, it's a beautiful scene, but it will not deliver you this morning. So let's bring him up to the place where his power is released to us. Let's bring him forward into our day because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm sure that you would join me this morning in saying, I want to know him in his power and his resurrection this morning. I want to know more than a story about him coming to the earth. I want to know what was accomplished, and then I want to know him myself. I don't want a secondhand revelation. I appreciate that. I appreciate that a messenger was sent. I appreciate that I have a pastor. I appreciate mom and dad, but I want to know him myself. Thank God he was born. That was necessary. It was prophesied. Thank God he grew up to be a teenager. Thank God he was an obedient son. But thank God this morning that he didn't just remain those things. That he grew up and became a mature grain of corn of wheat. So these men, they came and, oh, they were very sincere friends. No doubt they traveled a distance and they knew what the right approach was. So they were coming to see him. They were coming to meet him. They weren't like many today that think they don't need a fivefold ministry. When the ministers approached them, they didn't say, get out of my way. I'm going straight to them. No, they went to the ministry first. Well, I've already hit a stump. This is our Christmas message. Your battle isn't with me, it's with the Word. He says, them disciples, before they did anything, they took these Greeks right into the presence of Jesus. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he'll have to act the same today if you're brought into his presence. Disciples today is so much different. For today, they try to take you to a cradle or a manger or to a Santa Claus or to a bunny rabbit for Easter or something or another instead of Christ. They never did bring you in the presence of Christ. Listen to this. Christmas isn't Christ. Huh? Christmas isn't Christ. No. Today, they bring you some other place. To some statue. To some church. To some organization. To some doctrinal laws. But never get you in the presence of Christ. A real true disciple would bring you right straight in the presence of Christ. And from there, Christ would show you what you had to do. And the church says, oh friends, we're not following cunningly devised fables. The Christ of the Bible is alive and well. And he's here this morning. So I want to be clear this morning to say that Christmas isn't Christ. What is celebrated today with the birth of Jesus laying in a manger, that is not Christ. He was not the anointed one when he was laying in a manger. How many knows that? Sure. You know, if I wanted to present to you, let's say this morning that I was going to try to present to you Moses of the Old Testament. I could present him to you by speaking about a little Hebrew boy that was born and then was placed in a little ark that was pitched with pitch and set off in the Nile River to drift because they were coming to kill the little babies. He was the prophesied one that would come. Certainly Moses had to be born. We thank God for it. But you wouldn't know him if all you heard about was his strange birth. And the way that he survived in the Nile and the crocodiles didn't eat him. And the way that he was drawn out of the Nile. That's a wonderful and in the right time, in the right setting, that's a wonderful thing to talk about. But you still don't know Moses yet. He hasn't done anything. Certainly Moses had to be born. But you wouldn't know him if all you heard about was his strange birth. So if I want to present to you this morning the Jesus that was born 2,000 years ago, I'd have to point you to more than a beautiful nativity scene or give you some snow globe to shake around or whatever it might be. So what does Christmas actually mean to us this morning? That's a question that we want to ask ourselves. What does it mean to me? Right? I know what it means to this one or that one, and that's fine. But what does it mean to me this morning? What is the real meaning of Christmas to us? Is it just having a tree in the house in December, a few days after the first day of winter starts? Is it having it decorated with ornaments and tinsel and lights on it and a bunch of wrapped gifts underneath it? Is that what Christmas is? Is it turkey and pie and cranberry sauce? Uh-oh. Now we're getting into food. Whew. Is it the lights that decorate your house or your cactus? Or is it socks that are hanging in front of the fireplace, the biggest socks you can find so that they can be stuffed with things? Is it hot cocoa? Is it riding in the back of a wagon that's being drawn down the road by some horses, perhaps? What does Christmas mean to us on Christmas Eve 2023? What does Christmas mean to you this morning? Is it Christmas cards that are hanging on the pantry door for months at a time if you live at our house? Well, of course, it's got your pictures on it. Is it credit card bills for the next several months for all the things that you bought that others really didn't want and are going to exchange on Tuesday? So is Black Friday the busiest shopping day, or is it the day after Christmas? I think it would be a toss-up, wouldn't it? You can't get into a store hardly the day after Christmas because everybody's in a rush. They know that whatever still remains is going to be sought after, and you want to get in there and exchange your piece of coal for something that you really want. No, that's Charlie Brown, right? Is it Charlie Brown cartoons where Charlie Brown is given a piece of coal again? What is the meaning of Christmas? The real meaning of Christmas, I'll just tell you this morning, the real meaning of Christmas is Jesus coming, it's Jesus living a perfect life, it's Jesus dying for our sins, willingly giving up his own life, it's Jesus descending into hell, it's Jesus raising up again in order for him to give himself to you. Merry Christmas. God's wrapped gift is here this morning for you to receive. And you won't find it under a tree because it's not there. It was hung on a tree one day and then it was taken down. It was hung on a tree on Mount Calvary. And then it was ripped apart and it was torn open in order to release what was in that package, God's wrapped gift, in order to release it to you and I. Right. That didn't happen in a manger. That happened 33 years later on Mount Calvary. So you won't find them under a tree this morning. And guess what? If you're a Catholic, you won't find him on a tree either. He's not on the cross. That gift, that raft gift, was hung on a tree on Mount Calvary. But the life that was in it has been released. That gift was torn apart. Part of it raised up into the heavens, while another part was sent back to you and me as God's great gift. So we see this morning that there was a protocol or an order to what took place when these proselytes came to see Jesus. These ones that were born Greek by birth, but they were proselyted into the Jewish traditions of following the teachings of Moses. And so they came to Philip, and then Philip went to Andrew, and then both Philip and Andrew went to Jesus. Let's read that again this morning, paragraph or page 16. The disciples of old brought the seeker into the presence of God. And today the disciples of the day bring them into the presence of some church organization, some affiliation, some creed, some doctrine, instead of bringing them into the presence of Christ. Some want to, they'll do all that they can to bring you to the super church. But the super church is the one that you're part of, wherever you're at. And that's where you're going to get molded and shaped. Some will say he's here, he's there. Friends, he's wherever two or more are gathered in his name, that's where he's at. He says, we take the word Christmas. It's very seldom you ever hear Christ's name mentioned. You don't hear it mentioned. This was 60 years ago. The lights and the tinsel is all on Santa Claus, not on Christ. The people hardly knows what Christmas really is for. They've just paganized it till it all become pagan. It's a great commercial day of celebration. We looked at this when we went through the Church Age series. We saw how the Catholic Church commercialized it. We saw how the Catholic Church were trying to bring in heathens that were worshiping the sun god. And the sun god is birthed on December 25th. And so they're trying to get the pagans to come in, and they're saying, you don't have to change, you know. You're worshiping the sun god. Well, here's the Son of God. Son of God, what's the difference? You can just go ahead with your pagan traditions, but we'll just recycle the name. We'll make it recycled religion. He says, we take the word Christmas. It's very seldom you ever hear Christ's name mentioned. You don't hear it mentioned. The lights and the tinsel is all on Santa Claus, not on Christ. The people hardly knows what Christmas is really for. They've just paganized it and paganized it till it's all become pagan, and it's a great commercial day of self. Friends, there's the economy recovers because of Christmas every year. Now, if they want to make a commercial day like Mother's Day or Father's Day or Son's Day or Daughter's Day or Them Day or It Day or They Day, that's all right. But keep the commercial off of Christmas. Nothing wrong with Christmas. Just keep the commercial off of it. And I seen a sign not long ago, and it said, put Christ back in Christmas. He says, now they bring you to a church. You learn a creed. They bring you to a Christmas, and what do? You see a Santa Claus. They bring you to a church, and you see an organization. But Christ brought them to a cross. Christ brought them to a cross. Christ brought them to a cross. And when you get a real disciple that'll point you to Christ, Christ will bring you to the cross where you are crucified with him. And his eternal life and your life will meet together, and your life dies, and you take on his eternal life, and then you're a son of God. Then you're a daughter of God. Amen. What a difference from the disciple of old and the disciple of today. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Well, let's get them to Jesus then. So we've heard it repeated again in our day. It's cycled around again. Well, let's put Christ back into Christmas. And those that are saying that, those that are fighting to have the birth of Christ recognized on Christmas Day, they're saying put Christ back into Christmas. But that's as far as they're going with it. They see that the world is reverting back more and more to its paganist ways and without Christ. They see where even the name Christmas, Christ is taken out and there's an X put there instead. And that, you know, the X, if they just turned it the right way, it would be a cross. There wouldn't be anything wrong with that, but they take Christ out of the picture. The word mass means birth. So now you got X birth. Whatever that means. I think, who's the richest man in the world? Elon Musk. He's got a kid named X, and he's got another one named Y. How would you like to be called Y? Come here, Y. Why did I ever have you? One day people will see why. So they see that Christmas has been replaced with Xmas in many places. And so they fight to bring the manger scene back out in front of City Hall because it's been banned from city government. And they battle to put a Christmas tree up again in the town square. And they fight to be able to say the words Merry Christmas without somebody being offended instead of just Happy Holidays. But you see, that is not the real meaning of Christmas. So you and I, we're not going to celebrate Christmas. I know that sounds flat. But what we are going to do is we are going to invite and recognize and worship the Jesus Christ of Christmas. And every day before and every day after. And tinsel and trees and lights, they're also not the true meaning of Christmas. Because even if we were going to, let's say we were going to recreate a manger scene this morning, we would find that God never sent those things 2,000 years ago when Christ was born. There was no tree that was decorated. There was no tinsel. There was no reindeer running by. no big fat guy in a red and white suit. There were angels. They got that part right. There were no wise men. They came a few years later. They saw his star and they began to follow it. They followed it to Jerusalem and then they couldn't see the star any longer. So they had to get outside of the camp, Jerusalem, in order to see the star again. And they came to worship him. So they fight to bring the manger scene out in front of City Hall. And when they accomplish it, there's a great celebration. Finally we got Christ back into Christmas. They fight to put the tree back up in front of City Hall or Town Square. They fight to be able to say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. But you see, that's still not the real meaning of Christmas. So we aren't going to celebrate Christmas, but we are going to worship Jesus Christ this Christmas. You'll hear people say all the time, they'll say, well, what's the big deal if we put up and decorate a tree? Well, there's a simple test for that. God gave me this simple test many, many years ago because I wanted to know. You're trying to find out what the balance is on things. What is actually displeasing to God versus displeasing to the church or some man that has a foot fetish? Yeah. There's been pastors that have forbidden women from wearing open-toed shoes. The only thing I can figure is that he's got a foot fetish. Because the Bible doesn't say anything about that, and there's certainly nothing provocative about a foot. Well, if there is with you, you've got a problem. Why do we have to turn things into things? So you hear people say all the time, well, what's the big deal if we put up and decorate a tree? Here's your test. What's the big deal if you don't do it? Oh, well, that would be hard. Well, there's your answer. Something's got a hold of you, right? I don't think it would be a big deal to put up a tree if you could put it up or not put it up. And if you're not taking Christ out of Christmas. That's the point that we want to get to this morning. Don't be distracted. Don't let the devil fool you. What's the big deal if I decorate a tree? And what's the big deal if we put holly in the halls? I don't even know what that means. Deck the halls with... Listen, if you want some mistletoe, come over to my house. It's hanging in my trees. You're welcome to take it down. So, honestly, I don't suppose any of that would really matter if you're worshiping the one that was sent to die for you and then give you his own life. One is all about decorations for a celebration, while the other is about receiving God's wrapped gift that has been unwrapped and worshiping him yourself. So the real meaning is not all the commercialization and it's not all the heathen idols that have been brought in and some Saint Nicholas that wasn't even a saint or all these things that people get others caught up in. So much focus is on what am I getting for Christmas? So really, Christ isn't even the center of it. You are. Not you. Guy down the street I'm talking about. But. And the real meaning of Christmas is the greatest of all gifts that could ever, ever, somebody say ever, that could ever be given. Man had no access to eternal life. And God wrapped it up and sent it to the earth. And it's already been given. Who's going to outgive that? But it's up to each and every one of us to receive him and to worship him and to adore him and to serve him and then to introduce him to anybody else that would see him. So if you were to decide this morning to put on a celebration for my birthday, you're welcome to it. Would you want me to be there for it? Wouldn't I be the center of it? I mean, come on, this is just supposedly common sense. But let's just show you how sense is no longer common. Or would you just want somebody to put a video together, show my baby pictures? Show the picture of the humble cold water flat that I was living in when I was born. Yeah, they didn't have hot water in the building where we were living in Holyoke, Massachusetts. My parents were happy because they had running water in the house. It was better than what they had on the farm. You had to go out to a well. You had to go out to a spring and pump on the handle. Whether it was cold out, hot out. So they were happy just to have running water in the house and indoor plumbing. Or would you show the video of the taxi cab ride to the hospital and I'm coming out of my mother? And my mother's just trying to hold on till we get to the hospital. And then after that, would we maybe drink a little eggnog and give gifts to one another and eat a big meal and go lay down somewhere and try to breathe? All the while, I'm standing at the door listening to you talk about my birth, but I'm not even a part of your celebration. And you're saying it's all about me, except I'm not invited. I mean, come on, does that make sense to you this morning? Maybe you could show the picture of the Connecticut River that's flowing north. It's one of the few north-flowing rivers in North America. And as it's flowing by a little town called Holyoke, where I'm coming to the earth, maybe some pictures of Basketball Hall of Fame over in Springfield, not too far away. Or would you want me to be at the party? So that's one ditch. That's one extreme that we can fall into. Is that right? Don't tune me out already. I got some more bases to cover here. There's another extreme that some will go to today. Some will do all that they can do to point out the heathenism that's been brought into the celebration of Christmas. And they'll speak out against it and they'll say, God's got 7,000 that won't bow their knee. As if they're the only ones going in the rapture because they don't celebrate Christmas. Come on, friends. And they'll point out that Jesus was actually born in April instead. You ever heard that? Well, of course, we know that. All life comes forth in the spring. Lambs are born in the spring. We know that. I mean, after all, they were coming to be counted for taxes, and everybody knows that tax day is in April. We know that the shepherds were down in the field in Bethlehem in January. There was snow on the ground. So they'll make a big deal out of that, and they will perhaps avoid all any traditions at all that's developed around the celebration that takes place on December 21st, 25th. They'll be sure to point to history and tell you every little speck and every little bit, and they'll call anybody else that even mentions the word Christmas a heathen. And do they exchange presents? Well, some do and some don't. I'm not here to judge. I'm just telling you what they do. Do they recognize his birth, though, when April comes around? Do you hear them celebrating Christmas in April? No, you don't. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. But they do take a whole month to honor and celebrate their own birthdays, which is also steeped in tradition. If you want, friends, if you're gonna go down that road, at least go down that road equally. Don't just do it when it's convenient to you. Did you know that the early Christians They didn't celebrate their birthdays like the Romans and the Greeks did. That didn't find its way among the Christian churches until later on. The Catholics brought it in. And the celebration of birthdays in general was not something that caught on in Europe and America until just several hundred years ago. So what are we trying to say? Are you telling me don't celebrate my birthday? I never said that. What are we trying to say? What we're trying to say is, what is the real meaning of Christmas? If we're going to talk about Christmas, let's talk about Christmas. What should Christmas mean to us this morning? Is it a celebration of sorts? Or are we worshiping God's gift that was wrapped and sent to the world? Are we presenting the Christ of Christmas to those that seek to find Him? We like to hear Christmas songs. We like to see nativity scenes. We like to see beautiful lights. I like the blue ones. I don't know what it is about it. You know, I can't tell you. I can't describe. You know, there's things about yourself that you don't even know why certain things appeal to. It could just be in your genetics. Could be that you're wired to, you know, like a certain shape. We know that happens all the time. We know it could be certain colors that somehow there was a genetic advantage to it. And so it's something that you actually like. Who knows? I like to see the color of blue lights. And when I see it, I get this kind of Christmassy feeling. Because when I was a kid, that's when I saw it, right? I mean, it wasn't like today where people leave their lights up, you know, all year long. Not against that, just saying that things change. So we like to hear those familiar songs. We like to see nativity scenes. We like to see beautiful lights. We like to go to a certain part of town where they're decorated, and that's a wonderful thing. Nothing wrong with that. We like to hear the story of a baby that was born in a manger. Nothing wrong with that. And we like to be with our family, and we like to be with our friends, and we like to spread good cheer. Again, nothing wrong with that. But what about the Christ of Christmas? Is there room for Him among us in the Christmas season? Or is He still being turned out of places of hospitality? And are shepherds the only ones that find Him this Christmas season? And if they are true shepherds, are they leading you to the Christ of Christmas or to the scene of His birth only? Nothing wrong with leading people to the scene of His birth, as long as you don't stop there. We're so thankful this morning, friends, to hear about the angels that came down at His birth, aren't we? I mean, it just warms our hearts. But let's bring it down to 2023. You see, we've had some more angels come down in our day. In fact, we've had the chiefest of angels. We've had Christ Himself descend with a shout, with an open book in His hand. The angel of the Lord Himself, the true Christ of Christmas, has descended with an open book in His hand, just as He said that He would. He's descended with a shout, just as Paul told us that He would. He's descended with a message, "Go ye out to meet Him." And more angels have descended in this day than had descended 2,000 years ago. And the book that was wrapped, the book that was sealed with seven seals, has been torn open, and the Christ of true Christmas has been revealed to those who will partake of Him in this hour. So why aren't we making a holiday out of that this morning? You say, but that's different. That's a celebration of His coming to the earth and coming to live among us and of His birth in a manger. Okay. What if I, as one of His shepherds, were to tell you this morning that He's come to the earth again in the form of His Word? In a theophanic coming that you can read about in Revelation chapter 10. John prophesied, I saw another mighty angel descending from heaven. A rainbow over his head, Christ it could only be. He's a covenant angel. He's the angel of his own covenant. With an open book. That opens that book and then says to you, after you've been introduced to the one that opened the book, come and take it and eat it. Come and take of this life. Come and take of it freely. And freely you have received, now freely give. The one that Paul spoke about that said the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. If we're supposed to celebrate his birth because it was the promised Logos coming to the earth and taking on flesh, and how many believes that's true? Then why don't we celebrate it today when the very same Logos has come on the earth again in our day and is living in a many-membered mystical body, tabernacled again in flesh, but it's the same one coming and becoming flesh? Why aren't we celebrating that birth? Again, nothing against recognizing the natural birth of our family and our friends and letting them know how much we appreciate God sending them to us to live amongst us and brighten our lives and be a blessing to us. But if we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ the Word, then shouldn't we celebrate the spiritual birth of every other son or daughter of God that is the continuation of this new race when they are born again from above? Shouldn't that really be the birthday that we celebrate if we're just going to be consistent? What is the real meaning of Christmas to us this morning? Say, Brother Baker, you're kind of bringing this a little hard. Sometimes you got to break something to put it back together the way that it belongs together. So we're not trying to rain on anybody's festivities this week. Eat turkey, tamales, whatever it is. But isn't it fair to ask ourselves, what about the Christ of Christmas? Where does he fit in all of this? After all, it's his name that's being proclaimed. Amen. Have we come once again to worship him this morning? Amen. I mean, if it is his birth that we're celebrating, at least the shepherds came and worshiped him. The angels came and heralded his coming. We have come this morning to worship him. You've already been worshiping him. You came with that. You could be, there's many places that you could be this morning, but you came to worship him. And we never want the true Christ of Christmas to be taken from us or to overlook the true meaning of Christmas. Now, the devil, it's his goal, friends. He doesn't want the Christ today to be recognized amongst us. But I'm here to tell all those that have come to see Jesus this morning that what you have heard from him is true. And he's here this morning. And you can meet him this morning. And you can meet him in a greater way than those proselytes met him when they came to him. You see, they met a man in a one-piece robe. They met a man after the flesh. But you are seeing that Jesus of 2,000 years ago resurrected and coming in his glorified, in his theophanic form to minister to you, to come into you, to sup with you and you with him. That's the real meaning of Christmas. So his disciples faithfully introduced the proselytes to Jesus and the Jesus that was standing there 2,000 years ago. And faithful disciples would do the same thing today when people would say, we would see Jesus. I want to know Jesus. Tell me about him. Then show me the Jesus of the Bible. A true disciple of Christ, and we're all His disciples. A true disciple of Christ won't point you to a Christmas tree that's decorated with tinsel. They'll point you to a friend of Jesus that pointed that disciple to Jesus. And that message from his friend and that living disciple will introduce you to the living Christ of today. It will be our mission. It will be our purpose. We're not all called to preach, but we are all called to point people to the living Christ of the Bible. So if we were to do a manger scene this morning to celebrate his coming today, what would that manger scene look like? Well, it would be me laying out on an altar in my front yard. That's what you'd see. It'd be you laying out in your front yard, displaying the scene that marks when you met him and you died out and you were quickened. Now, that's not being sacrilegious this morning, friends. But where is the one that was born in a manger? Where is that one in this hour? Where will you find him? He's in a tabernacle. He's in a tabernacle that's not made with hands. He's in a tabernacle of flesh. And you'll find portions of him behind the veil in a many-membered body across the face of the earth. Where would we find God's wrapped gift this morning if we were to go looking for it? We've already found it. He's in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. If somebody were to say this morning, we've seen his sign and we've come to worship him, where would you point them to? Where is the Christ of Christmas living on the earth today? Where is he? There are wise men on the earth that still seek him. There are shepherds that are still heralding his coming in 2023. There are those that have heard and now they want to see him for themselves. They've heard about him, but now they want to meet him in the power of his resurrection. So the nativity scene this morning, friends, it's in the hearts of the believers. The hearts of the believers that the Lord Jesus is now dwelling in. They've been quickened. They've been raised from the dead. Not just ministers. We are all called to be his disciples this morning. So the question we should ask ourselves this morning is, can we, as servants of Christ, lead people today to the real meaning of Christmas? Without being snotty. Without being in one ditch or the other. Well, bless God this and bless God that and hallelujah. And which side are you on? I'm on the side of Jesus. Why don't we just strip through everything and just make him the center of Christmas? It's not just for ministers to do it, but it's for every born-again son or daughter of God. Every disciple of Christ has a duty this morning to lead those that seek Christ to the true Christ of Christmas. Friends, if we can get all religious about pointing people to a manger, how about pointing them to the living God? Not to a manger or to a tree or to a snowman or some guy in a red suit, but to the true meaning of Christmas. Look at what the world's done. They've got a guy, like I said, in a red suit, right? What's red signify? That's the blood that was shed for you. Santa didn't shed blood for you. And he's got white on the top of his head. What does that represent? A judge. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. And if you've been naughty, you're not going to get something from Santa. But thankfully, the modern day Santa, you sit on his lap and he says, oh, that's all right. Right? every attribute that they're portraying in Santa is a perversion of Christ. Christ was said, he knows if you've been naughty or nice. He's the one that tells you if you're forgiven or not. And he's the only one that can give you the gift that you need this morning. These things of the world, they'll decay, they'll rust. But what he came to bring you, no one else can give. He's the reason for the season. He's the true Christ of Christmas. It's the Lord Jesus living amongst us. It's the Word, the person of the Word, living amongst us, expressing himself amongst us, walking and talking and breathing, living out his Word, showing us that he's alive and well, showing that we're not believing in something that was told to people 2,000 years ago. Certainly we are believing that, but we have evidence of it this morning. So the songs that we sing at Christmas time, what are the words? What are the main themes? I don't know about you, but I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Nothing wrong with that. But if your wish comes true, or are you totally satisfied and you say that it was a successful Christmas? Or are we singing, "Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how what beautiful or glorious are thy branches? Oh Tannenbaum," I guess that's the German version of it. Sounds a little better, right? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Do you realize that was invented in the 60s? And yet people will, if you ask somebody on the street, they're like, "Oh no, that's tradition. It just, yeah, tradition that was 60 years old." People just love tradition, don't they? So if that's all Christmas is, if it's just a tree, if it's just a, you know, snowman, if it's snow on the ground, if it's tinsel, might as well be Batman and Robin. Might as well be number 77 of your favorite sports team. Because that's how much good it's doing you this morning. The focus on Christmas to the believer is his advent on the earth. So when Paul and Peter and these others after Pentecost, when they went to the other nations, and Peter and others to Israel to preach Christ, did they set up a manger scene and decorate a tree and teach them how to put up lights and how to properly hang tinsel? Did they warn you that the cats will eat that tinsel and then vomit? Or worse than that, they'll get inside your tree and bring the whole thing down. When the early church sang songs about Jesus Christ, were they songs about Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph? And you already know the answer to that one. Let me ask you this. Was there ever a mention of his birth and the angels and so on and so forth in the book of Acts? Again, nothing wrong with recognizing that Jesus Christ was born, just as the Bible foretold us. And just as the Gospels bore witness to. He had to come. And it was supernatural in the way that he came. And it was natural in the way that he came. But that's not what we're driving at this morning. So don't let that side rail you. Don't get off into this ditch or that. Well, he's trying to take this away or that away. Or I'm not trying to take nothing away. I'm trying to put something in. I'm trying to point to the purpose, the real reason for Christmas. Nothing else matters. Why? What does Christmas mean to us this morning? So if we're doing these other things, that's fine. But in doing that, are we also pointing to where he is today? Are we worshiping the Christ of Christmas today? Or are we celebrating his birthday without him even acknowledging him when he comes to his own party? You know, a lot of homes will have a tradition. Nothing wrong with it, friends. But I just want to point something out. Have a tradition, you know, maybe youngest to the oldest, you know, one gift at a time, and you kind of go around the circle. Where's Jesus in that? Well, it's about the nativity. Well, are the scriptures read before you start going into the gift part? Or is Christ recognized? Is the meaning of Christmas Christ? Or has it become anything else? That's the point, friends. We don't want to do a bait and switch. Well, I think it's okay to celebrate Christmas. I do too. The true Christ of Christmas. Again, you know, the devil doesn't care a lick if you celebrate the birth of Jesus. You see, that's no threat to his kingdoms of this world. And there's no commandment for it in the Bible either. But when you show others where he is born and where he's living today in a spiritual kingdom that's now in the hearts of his disciples, that's when the evil devil and his minions, that's when they wake up. That's when they come on the scene. That's when they get all stirred up. Because they don't want you to know the Jesus that's here this morning. When you point them to the one that heals, when you point them to the one that delivers, when you point them to the one that still saves, the one that still sets the captive free, the one that will go after your loved ones. The one that will comfort you. The one that will intercede for you. When you point him to that Jesus, all hell raises up. When you share with others the true meaning of Christmas and lead them to him, is there a spirit that raises up? You have seen his star today. God sent a star to reflect his light. You've seen his star today. And that star has led us to him in this hour. You're not waiting to meet him. Now is your time. That's the meaning of Christmas. You've come to worship the King. For unto you a King has been born. But he's been born in the manger of your heart. And you are singing Hosanna from the highest. Blessed be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. There is no other. All hail King Jesus. And he's made known to you this morning, friends, that he's come to dwell with you and in you. Again, he says, page 17, paragraph 2, he says, now, they bring to you a church. You learn a creed. They bring you to a Christmas. And what do? You see a Santa Claus. They bring you to a church. You see an organization. But Christ brought them to the cross. And when you get a real disciple that'll point to Christ, Christ will bring you to the cross where you are crucified with him. And his eternal life and your life will meet together. And your life dies. You die out to your old ways, your old self. And then you take on his eternal life. And then you're a son of God, a daughter of God. Amen. What a difference from the disciple of old and the disciple of today. If you mention to a disciple, I would love to know the Lord Jesus. Well now, look, we belong to a certain church. Come on down and join us, see? Or we belong to a certain society. Come join that. And now, that's what you hear, but Christ himself pointed people to his death, and he said, except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground, it abides alone. Oh, how different it is. Yes, sir, how different. But your life and his life find each other, not at church, not in a building, not in a creed, not in good works, but in the cross where you are crucified with him. That's where you find Christ.
You don't find them by doing better. You don't find, there's a lot of people that are going to turn over a new leaf, right? Well, you know, it didn't work out so well last year, so I've just purposed and I've got this list made out, and come New Year's Day, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. You don't need a new leaf. If a leaf turns over and a wind blows, it'll turn back over. What you need is a new life. That's where you find Christ. You don't find him by doing better, turning a new page, starting a new life. You don't find Christ. You find Christ only in death, not in a manger, not in a confession, to believe in certain creeds and fables. You don't find Christ there. A true servant takes you to him, and he is the Word. He'll take you to the book of John and tell you, look, let him speak to you right out of that book. When he says, I will come unto you. Recognize that's him. That's the Word speaking to you. Well, that was said 2,000 years ago. Now it's quickened to you. Yes, he recorded it 2,000 years ago because he wanted you to hear it in your day. Let it become real to you. You find Christ only in death, not in a manger, not in a confession, to believe in certain creeds and fables. You don't find Christ there. A true servant takes you to him, and he is the Word. You say, well then, Brother Branham, if Christ is on the earth today, a real servant would take him to Christ. Well, Christ is here in the form of the Word, and the Word brings life because he is the Word. Christ is the Word. Yes, sir. He is the Word himself. The true servant always takes you to the Word. Now, he is the Word. He is the Bible made living. And when you die to yourself with Christ like a corn of wheat, then the Word lives in you and brings forth the same results as it did in that living corn of wheat that had to drop into the earth. Amen. You're partakers in his resurrection. You're partakers with him in all of his blessings, in all of his manifestations. You're partakers with him in all that he did. And the church says. So when they brought the Greeks to Jesus, where did Jesus point them to? Did he say, oh, you know, it's real swell of you guys. I'm glad you came. And what's your name? And okay, so today we're going to go take a tour of Bethlehem, and I'm going to show you where I was born. I'm going to take you to the cave. Did he sell tickets? Did he even mention it? When did he ever mention his birthday? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, speaking of Christ, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Not one mention of a manger. Not one mention of a splinter off of a cross. It's the Catholics that idolized him. It's the Catholics that built a church over every place where something took place. They made Mary an intercessor, and they put a halo over her, and they left the baby in her arms. Now she's your God. She's going to intercede for you. And he's a little baby. Come on, friends. Did Jesus say, well, I'm glad you showed up. You know, I just happened to have some gift cards left. Which one would you like? No. He said, the hour is come. You would see Jesus? The hour is come. The Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until life eternal. Merry Christmas. He said, if you want to see Jesus, this is mature corn that's speaking to them, not baby corn, not a seed, but a mature corn. He says to him, you know what? This flesh that you're looking at this morning, it's got to fall into the ground. The flesh of the Son of Man must die. And then you must decide to lose your life also. And then I will send my life to you and raise you up. Merry Christmas. If you would see Jesus, here's how you're going to see him. You will find the true meaning of Christmas when this takes place in your life. Now, friends, we all like to receive gifts. We all like to show our love to our family and to our friends. We all like to show our appreciation. And even as adults, we can be as little children sometimes when given a gift. We can get all giddy and excited. Nothing wrong with us, certainly, with us expressing our love and our appreciation to one another and giving a gift to add to that expression if we feel to do that. But as long as we're clear on that, that's what we're doing. As long as we're clear that that's not the true meaning of Christmas, and that we don't leave the living Christ of the Bible out of our worship at the same time. Nothing wrong with giving a gift to show our appreciation to somebody on their natural birthday. Just as long as we don't, as long as that doesn't become an expectation. I can't believe it. Nobody gave me. I'm going to commit suicide. I gave them something for their birth. I didn't get nothing. Some will turn a birthday into a national holiday. And they'll get mad at the pastor. I've had people get mad at me. If I don't give them 9 months notice that the week of their birth, we're going to have special meetings. What? Why does it have to be on a certain... That's the part I don't get. Right? Okay, let's say your birthday's on a Saturday. Can't you celebrate it on a Friday? Who cares? I mean, what's the point? Is this a sacred holiday? I'm afraid that it is. Sirs, we would see Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible that's alive and well... This morning in 2023, he's here to give you the gift of eternal life. God's great wrapped gift sent to mankind. Some will run off to be with family every Christmas and every New Year's. And some will do that now and then, and they'll actually have the right motive. Their motive is to present to their family while they're still around the Jesus of the Bible that's here today. And they want them to come in contact with that Jesus. Amen. And they're hoping that they'll ask questions. But others will do it because of nostalgia. It's not only women that are prone to that, but women are more susceptible to that. They like tradition just for tradition's sake. And a man is more prone to say, but why are we doing this or that? Well, it's true, friends. A woman is controlled by feelings a little bit more than men are. And it's a good thing. I wouldn't want a woman that had no feeling. So we can do it just out of nostalgia, that warm feeling that comes back every year. That feeling that we grew up with around our family at Christmas time every year. And then go all out with the decorations and the trees and so forth. Yet Jesus isn't the main part. That's the point. It's a distraction for some. And when they miss church and they don't stream when they run off with family, instead they do all the things that they did with their family when they were growing up. And maybe the family is not serving God. When they can stream the service and invite their family to join them while they worship the King. But instead they go all out with Santa Claus and reindeers and then teach the next generation their ways. And the ones that are worshiping the Christ of Christmas will spend their Christmases with Christ
and without family a lot of times. Because they're no fun. Because they're not part of the tinsel hanging and socks hanging from the fireplace and things like that. Come on, friends. It's rubber hits the road. Why are we doing what we're doing? What is the meaning of Christmas? Just answer that. If you have the right answer this morning, wonderful. Just make sure that he's in the center of Christmas. So they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." We'll pull over here in just a minute. "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And Jesus said, "Okay, you want to see him? You have now met the Jesus of the flesh. But a corn of wheat must die, or it abides alone. I came to this earth, I had to grow, I had to mature into ripe corn. But for you to know me in the way that you need to know me, I must die first. You came to meet with me, but you're not going to meet with me yet. You've met my flesh. But I have to die first. And then you have to die also. And then we can meet. You will meet me at that time. I'll be with you, even in you. I'll be the center of the revelation in your life. I will give you the very life that's in me right now that you can't know unless this corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. You can't know this life. And then I'll say to you, Merry Christmas." He told them, "Okay, brothers, you came to meet Jesus. I'm not going to take you back to the family home so that you can now know me after the flesh. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to my cross. And if you will lay at the foot of that cross and die out to yourself where I die, well, then you're going to see me." So Jesus told his disciples one time, he says, "The world will see me no more, but you will see me. For I will be with you and even in you." So the main thing, friends, is to get people into his presence. And when you meet him, he will point you to the place where you can find him. That's what Jesus did to these men. He said, "Look, you want to meet me? Here's where you'll find me." He told them where they would find him. Say, "What do you mean? They're standing right there before him. You can't..." Jesus told his own disciples, "It's better that I go." They said, "Don't leave. It's better that I go. Because when I send my spirit back, the Comforter, I'll teach you things that you can't know after the flesh. I'll reveal it to you myself." So the main thing this morning is to get people into his presence. Some will see God's wrapped gift, but they don't want to make a mess to open it. They just see what a pretty package that their religion is all wrapped in. And they know that it'll be a mess when they open it. Some of us can't wait to open it. The wrapping is beautiful sometimes, but it's what's behind the wrapping that we're interested in this morning. So they couldn't see God's great gift that was wrapped and was standing right before them. So they didn't find the way to eternal life, though he pointed them to it. He said, this is how you will see Jesus. He didn't offer them a creed. He didn't point them to his miracles. Nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't what he did. He pointed them to the great truth of how to see him. He didn't point them to a creed. He didn't point them to an organization or even to his own flesh. He didn't say, "You have arrived." He pointed them to a corn of wheat that would fall into the ground and die and then be raised up again into eternal life to impart to those
that will die out themselves and will desire to see Him. And so that great gift, friends, it was wrapped in such humble wrapping. We always want to get out the best paper. I had a little something that I was, I'll admit, I don't do much wrapping anymore. And Sister Baker had done her thing for the grandkids and what have you. And I said, so do you have any paper left? And there was just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then there was a whole roll. And me, the engineer, you know, I'm looking at it. And, well, I shouldn't start that whole roll. How's this other stuff going to get used up, you know? So I did a little patchwork quilt and tried to, oh, it's the same paper, but it, you know, anyway. And then there's no scotch tape, so I had to get the packing tape, you know, that's always real attractive, right? And then there was a second thing, and I thought, you know, the second thing, it's big, I'll just use the new paper. So I got the new paper out, I had it almost wrapped, and I went to pick it up. So now it looks like the other paper. But really, no matter how well we wrap it, you're not really interested in the paper, are you? I mean, you don't leave it wrapped, right? I hope. Do you? You put it in a closet somewhere and pull it out next year? No. No matter how beautiful it's wrapped, it's what's behind the wrapping that's important to you. God's great gift was wrapped so humbly. And they didn't see what was wrapped. They didn't see what was behind that wrapping. When He went to the cross, they tore at that wrapping and they still couldn't see it. It was God that ultimately unwrapped that gift that was hung on a tree, hung on a cross. He tore the wrapping apart, dividing the flesh and the soul and the spirit. He broke the, burst the very blood cells that contained His very own life. And then He used that life to raise Him up again within 3 days. And He arose from the grave. He descended first into hell to take away the keys from His enemy and to open the prison doors for His family, the captives from the Old Testament. And then He took His own blood on high as an offering for sin, where He would then sprinkle it on every son and daughter of God that would come after Him, the rest of this new race. And He sent His very own life back to His church. And on the day of Pentecost, He said, Merry Christmas. That's your true Christmas. That's the meaning of Christmas. Let's stand this morning. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm just so tore up. And I'm not supposed to. I don't know if I should do this or that or the other. Worship the Christ of Christmas. Whatever else you do, that's just periphery. Worship the Christ of Christmas. And if someone is hungering and thirsting, lead them to the Christ of Christmas. Especially, you know, it's such a, those that want to just totally heathenize the whole thing and throw it into the trash, they're missing out on a great opportunity. I mean, I wonder what the world thinks when they hear us squabbling amongst ourselves. Well, I'm on this side and I'm on that side. What about talking about the Christ of Christ? Here's the opportunity that we have. He did come. He was born. But then He lived and He died and He rose again. And He came to give us God's wrapped gift. That's the Christ of Christmas. And that's the greatest gift that we could point some. You can't give it. How many knows that? Oh, how we tried. You saw it and surrendered and finally believed, and then God filled you. He gave you the gift of the Holy Ghost that He promised. You didn't earn it. Well, if I could just be good enough, if you could just be good enough, you're still works-based. It's a gift. And if it's more than a gift, it's not from Him. It's the gift of life. You can earn. The wages of sin is death. That's something you get paid for. You can earn death. But life is a gift. What is that life worth this morning, friends? This time, we know that, right? I mean, people are talking about Christmas. Stores are featuring Christmas. Churches are featuring Christmas. People are decorating. There's a spirit that's a better spirit than we see the rest of the year. I saw my neighbor yesterday. It's not that I'm avoiding him, and it's not that he's avoiding me. But I had just made the comment to Sister Baker that, you know, when do we ever even see our neighbors anymore? Because of the day that we're living in, you know, we get into our cars and we drive off. And, of course, we all get into our cars at different times. And depending on what kind of a neighborhood, if you're living in a working neighborhood, then maybe you see your neighbors a little bit more. But if you're living in an older neighborhood, then it's a little different. So I just expressed that to my wife. And I looked over yesterday and she says, wow, I've never seen, you know, there's six cars in their driveway. It must be son and daughter and who knows, you know. A few over at the house. Wow, six cars in our neighbor's driveway. And I looked over and so we're taking some stuff out of the van and there's my neighbor. And I looked over. He waved at me and I said, Merry Christmas. He said, Merry Christmas to you. I've seen him other times of the year where he was just, you know, the few times that I've seen him where he's absorbed, he's focused and maybe we wave at one another, but it's different right now, right? I mean, when I said Merry Christmas to him, I meant it. And when he said it back to me, he meant it too. There's like a bond that takes place for just a short period of time this time of year, right? That's the time for people to see Jesus. That's the time. It's a window of opportunity. After the New Year's, the credit card bills come, and people are fighting at the stores with exchanging this and that. People go back to work. Kids go back to school. That moment is gone. But it doesn't have to be gone for you and I. Because every day is Christmas. If we're celebrating the true reason or the true purpose for Christmas, what an opportunity we have. Just be mindful of it. Just think about it. The impact that you might have on somebody else. Maybe somebody at the grocery store, just holding the door open for somebody, helping somebody put something in their car. Just, it's little things. We have an opportunity. There are still people seeking Jesus. There are still people that would see Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe it's over. I don't believe the ark is shut. There are still people that are seeking Him. But how are they going to find Him? They have to find Him through somebody that's met Him. If you've met Him, you now have the blessed opportunity of saying, what a friend I have. Let me tell you what I think of Jesus. I've found a friend that's so true. Let me tell you how He changed my life completely. He did what no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He is the reason. He is the meaning of Christmas. I want you to meet my friend. You're not, friends, you're not trying to talk somebody into a doctrine. You're not trying to introduce them to a way of dress. You're not trying to force them to come to one church or another. You're trying to get them to the Jesus that you have been introduced to. And you have that unique opportunity. What a blessed opportunity it is. I know that that's our desire. I know that's the desire of every single one of you. But I think it just behooves us sometimes to remind one another. Because it's so easy to get caught up in all the peripheral and just all the things that are going on around us. And lose sight of the opportunity that we have right now. Certainly we have an opportunity all year long. But wouldn't you agree with me this morning that you've got a unique opportunity? I mean, there are people that don't have a place to go. And a little kindness. You can show them the love of Jesus. Right? They don't even have to know that you did it. Right? You can do it without them knowing it. And they're experiencing the love of God. What an opportunity that we have. Let's don't lose sight of it. Let's keep Him in the center of whatever it is that we do. If you're going to eat pie, keep Him in the center of it. No, don't put Him in the center of the pie. But keep Him in your fellowship and in your conversation. Amen. I know that that's everybody's motive and objective. I know that I haven't told you a thing that you didn't already know this morning. But it's good to remind ourselves, isn't it? It's good for us to... The world will just commercialize and distract and just, you know, try to put us into different corners. He's the reason for the season. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for keeping us balanced in your word. We don't say, Lord, you note, somebody might misunderstand just hearing what I said. They might say, well, you're calling yourself balanced. No, I'm saying I'm surrendering to Him, and He is the center of the revelation. And He is keeping us balanced in His Word. Without Him, I can't do a thing. With Him, I can do all things. Through Christ, it strengthens. When we find the true Jesus of the Bible, when we find Him alive and well, living in our day, He will keep us. He will guide us. He doesn't just set us free. He doesn't just take a cigarette out of our mouth and a whiskey bottle out of our hand, clean up our mouths, save us from our sin. He changes us. He fills us with His very own Spirit and His Word. He leads us. He guides us. He does what no one else can do. He keeps us. Without Him, none of us could be kept. Peter was sanctified. He was justified. He was sincere. But the Lord told him that He would deny him 3 times. Just within a small time frame from the time He spoke those words. He wouldn't deny him once, twice, but 3 times. Before the sun came up, before the cock crowed. And Peter realized that he needed something more than desire. He needed something more than just sanctification even. Sanctification was something that was needed so that life could be brought in, so that eternal life could come in. That vessel had to be washed and cleansed, not by Peter, but by the Holy Ghost. But then the person of the Holy Ghost came and filled Peter, and we see Peter living a different life. Sure, he still made mistakes, but we see him living a completely different life. And we get the sense as we begin watching him that there's no possibility that Peter's ever going to fall away. Because now there's something that's holding him. He's no longer trying to hold on. Something's holding him. And he knows it. And he made it his life's purpose to introduce this Christ of Christmas to anyone that he could. See Paul doing the same thing. All the other disciples. If that same one is living and breathing, it is filling hearts in this hour, it'll produce the same thing. Father, we would see Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. We would see him in his resurrection, in his glory. We would see him in the fullness of his word. We would see him in a many-membered body. We would see him taking control of that body and having preeminence in it, showing to the whole world that he's alive, he's risen, and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless each and every one, Lord, as we go to our homes, as we visit with our family, our friends, or wherever we might go today and tomorrow and the days that are to come. May you just remain the center of all that we say and do. May you be the purpose. May you be the reason. May I pray, Lord, that each and every one, that no one would go out the door this morning without knowing the true meaning of Christmas. To know you is life. I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one. And I pray, Lord, that from every spirit-filled believer that's in this building tonight or this morning or is listening in, I pray, Lord, that as they surrender, that your spirit would be able to impact other lives and others can that are seeking you can come to know you in the power of your resurrection, to worship the true Christ of Christmas. Be with our friends, our family members, and those that are traveling. Be with those that are here, Lord, each and every one. And Father, we'll give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you. We thank you for the greatest gift that you sent to this world. And Father, we receive it. And Lord, it exceeds our expectation. In fact, it provides to us whatever it is that we have need of, not just in this life, but in the life to come. We treasure it, Lord. There's no one that could give a gift like that. There's no one that could pay a price like that. But you did it for us, Lord. The least we can do is recognize that this morning. Recognize you, Lord. Let that light shine. Bless each and every one. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center of it all. Yes, Jesus be the center of it all. Amen. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it always is you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Jesus be the center of my life. Yes. Be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Amen. Hallelujah. For Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. And nothing else matters. Amen. Nothing in. Oh, friends, he satisfies this morning. Amen. If he's the center, Jesus, you're the center. And so everything revolves around you.
Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Amen. From my heart.